It's 2011. It's Blue and Gold Week at UCLA. It's an annual tradition in the week leading up to their game with USC. They have rallies through the week and a huge Beat SC bonfire. UCLA hasn't fared well in this rivalry lately. At the time of this, they'd only won one of the last 12 matchups, and it was in 2006. UCLA's coach at the time, Rick Neuheisel, addresses the crowd.
And it was always my dream to come back here and be the head football coach. That was part of the dream. The second part of the dream was to take a team and win a championship. And ladies and gentlemen, on Saturday night, despite what you may have read, despite what you may have heard about this team, we are indeed playing for a championship.
The rivalry is legendary. It started out simple. USC students stole UCLA's victory bell after a game. UCLA painted USC's Trojan statue blue. But it grew huge. The USC student president received kidnapping threats one year. Both schools camp out the week of the game around their respective statues to prevent anything from happening to them, wrapping the statues in duct tape, covering them with a tarp. The aforementioned victory bell becomes the prize to the winner of the annual game. The game doesn't go well. Okay, that's an understatement. It goes historically bad.
They call it seven. Barkley Chase steps up in the pocket, throws for the home run. Touchdown! Barkley, the direct snap, wants to throw to the end zone. Throws it, complete, touchdown! It goes wide open, goodbye. Robert Woods, touchdown! Touchdown number six tonight thrown by Barkley.
50-0. Neuheisel's fired less than a week later. They finish 6-8 on the season and lose the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl to Illinois. And no one's quite sure where it's going wrong. The recruiting classes were considered some of the best in the nation. USC was losing recruits because of NCAA sanctions. It should have been turned around. They hired Jim Mora, recently fired by the Seahawks. Mora changes the entire culture. He aggressively recruits and promises none of the players from the year before a spot come fall. Today you'll meet one of those players, cornerback Aaron Hester, and his story of redemption. From NationalFootballPost.com, I'm your host, Eric Oler. This is Character Guys. Aaron Hester got his start in football early.
My dad introduced me to football when I was about like 2 or 3 years old. He used to just stand me in front of the door at the house, and he used to just throw the football at me for about an hour straight. And then from there, I just fucking fell in love with football from there.
He grew up in Compton and attended Dominguez High School, where he ran track and played wide receiver. One day, fate stepped in.
We had a big-time corner. His name was David Ross. He went to Dominguez High School. He had already signed with Oregon State, or was committed to Oregon State, and he got hurt. And he couldn't play corner for us anymore. My coach, Keith Donaldson, came to me and said, "We're going to play you at corner this week," out of nowhere. And he was like, "You starting?" And I was like, "What? I never played corner before." So they threw me out there, and he just told me, just line up in front of the dude. And when a quarterback say hi, try to get your hands on him and don't let him run past you. That's how I learned how to play corner from there.
Aaron was a natural fit at corner. He was a four-star recruit his senior year and turned down Miami and USC to go to UCLA.
What was it about UCLA that drew you there?
We had a great recruiting class and everything. One of my best friends, Randy Moore, he turned down Georgia and SC to go there. I turned down Miami and SC to go to UCLA. So we just kind of, tried to come in and just stay local and kind of be different and didn't want to just follow the trend of inner city guys going to SC and stuff like that. We just want to be different. And UCLA, it's a great education and a great campus, great people. And I feel like it worked out for me.
Aaron sat out the 2008 season, and the team struggled the next three under Coach Neuheisel.
I mean, at first, we were losing games and stuff, but I feel like me running into Coach Mora and at the tail end of my college football career was a blessing, you know what I mean? He helped me out so much, and he just showed me how football is really supposed to be coached.
Where did it start going south with Coach Neuheisel?
I'm not really sure. I mean, Coach Moore, he's just different. You know what I mean? Coach Neuheisel, he did the best that he could. It's just different for different people. And Coach Moore came in and he got it right. He got us behind him 100%. He was a real player's coach. He cared about us. He texts us every single day. I mean, what happened in the past, it happened in the past.
The team looked different. With literally the same secondary as the year before, the team started 8-2 with wins over top 25 Arizona and Nebraska. They were ranked 17th in the nation. Then came Beat SC Week.
Thursday evening, UCLA hosted their annual Beat SC Bonfire.
This is unbelievable. This is awesome, man. Is this awesome, guys? This is awesome. Hey, I can't even begin to tell you how important your support has been to us all year. Our fans, our student body. When we're out there in the field on Saturday, we feel you, we hear you, we play for you. And this Saturday is going to be a special
Is that
day.
Like every other game? Do you guys, or does everyone in the locker room understand the significance of that tradition?
I mean, everyone understands the significance of it, but this year it kind of, when we were looking at film, we kind of went into this game expecting to win. You know what I mean? We weren't expecting to lose that game at all because we knew who we were and we knew what the new identity of the UCLA Bruins were. And we knew that when we watched film from Tuesday all the way till Friday, we knew that we had them.
It's kickoff time. The Rose Bowl, 83,000 people in the stands watching. Aaron and every returning player on the roster knew this was it. This was their chance for redemption. They had to make a statement early. I don't even think he expected what happened.
First down and 10 at the 25 for Matt Barkley. Marquise Lee in motion. Barkley out of the shotgun on first down. This one picked up already. Hester out of bounds. Barkley throws his 14th interception of the year on the first play of the game, and the Bruins are in business.
Aaron's interception set the tone for the day. UCLA never trailed and won 38-28, even knocking Barkley out of the game with a shoulder injury.
Oh, it felt great. We played our hearts out. We played for our coach every single game, you know what I mean? And when you got 22 people on the field, no matter which 22 is on the field, going 100 miles per hour, just trying, just giving 100%, and you got a coach that's getting 100% out of you every day in practice and every game, that results in a better season.
Aaron jumps at the chance to credit Coach Mora with his senior season success, and more so, helping him develop as a man.
I've yet to meet a man like him before, and just the love and the passion and the care that he took for me personally, and just showing me a different side of life, and just showing me that I could really do this as a professional one day, and to block out all the noise of what people say and what people think, that if you have that mindset that you can do it, that you can do it. And he believes in me. And I believe in him as a coach, and I'm living and dying by Coach Moore no matter what.
Fast forward a few months later, UCLA finished their season 9-5 with tough back-to-back losses to number 8 Stanford and a loss to Baylor in the Holiday Bowl. Aaron receives an invite to the NFL Combine. He's one of 6 defensive backs in the country to attend. The week of the Combine, Aaron comes down with the flu.
And at the Combine, I was kind of sick. I was drained. I couldn't keep nothing down. I was sweating in my sleep. I had headaches and everything. But I went out there and competed anyway because I felt blessed to even be out there in Indy with only 60 DBs in the whole country were there. So I felt like I had to go out there and show something. It's just the competitive nature in me.
He finished near the bottom in every category for his position. And much like the 2011 loss to USC, he knew he could do better. He'd get the chance a few weeks later at his pro day. He didn't disappoint. He brought his 40 time down more than a tenth of a second. He beat his broad jump by 8 inches, his vertical by 6. Between that and 38 starts in his college career, he'd done everything he could to get on the radar of someone at the next level. This weekend, he's hoping to find out who.
I mean, I'm ready for this. I mean, I want to come in. Honestly, I want to come in. I want to play as a rookie. Whether I want to compete to start, and if I don't start, I want to be on that field a lot of the times, whether it's special teams, whether it's in the nickel package, whether it's in the dime package. But I'm going to be on that field in 2013 in NFL uniform, no matter what. So I'm not scared of it. I'm ready for it. I feel like this is my calling. I've been. This is what I'm here for to do, is to play football and be in the NFL.
What do you think your biggest strength as a player is?
I can play man-to-man coverage. I can play press man-to-man coverage. And I'm not afraid to tell the coach, like, coach, I got him. We can do anything else, but I've been isolated plenty of games by myself where I was just out there just manned up. And I'm not scared to do that. And I will never be scared to do that, because I feel like that's my strength. I got long arms. I'm physical at the line of scrimmage, and I can run with people.
What do you think you need to work on the most as a player still?
I can work on any part of my game, any and every part of my game. I'm not an all-pro yet. I'm not a pro bowler yet. So I need to work on every aspect of my game right now. There's nothing that I don't need to work on. I feel like, and that's what everybody in this draft has something that they need to work on. And me, I'm just trying to improve on everything in my game, no matter if people say it's this, people say it's that. But me personally, being self-motivated, I try to just work on every part of my game so I can reach my peak in NFL and play my best football on Sundays.
How about as a person? Do you need to work on anything? Anything you struggle with every day?
Oh man, I'm constantly correcting myself and trying to better myself as a person every day. Whether it's relationships with people, whether it's relationships with parents, whether it's anything, you know what I mean? I just try to be the best overall person I could be. And I'm not perfect. Nobody walking this earth is perfect. But as long as you have the wherewithal to know that what you need to work on and to know what you need to do to get better, then I feel like you're making strides in the right direction. And that's what I try to do in my life every single day.
For more on Aaron, as well as our bonus interview with San Diego State guard Nick Ambernetti, head to nationalfootballpost.com. There you'll find 400 scouting reports covering almost every name you'll hear in this weekend's draft, along with pick-by-pick analysis as it happens. If you like what you heard today, please tweet it, like it, share it, get it out there. If you'd like to contribute to the show, contact us at information@nationalfootballpost.com. We'll be back soon with more on and off the field stories from the world of football. From National Football Post, thank you for listening. Now I'm feeling forsaken and trapped. With no hope and I'm broken open, forsaken the trap. I've been bothered since you fall to put this weight on my back. So please erase it as sweat, cause when it's pain it attacks. My weakness is at its peak, I'm feeling strained and I lack the trust in you. I struggle through the ways that I should come to you, Lord. What am I gonna do? It's true, this pain and distress. But I see my only hope when my back's on the ropes is in you. So I read through the facts that you wrote. The pain may fade away, but if that's my only hope, then you don't get the glory alone, not Lord, even close, yeah. Better, but it may not. So when I pray, God, I pray I will trust you ever or not the pain stops. So when the pain falls, coming down like raindrops, I just gotta cling to you. Lord, it may get better, but it may not. So when I pray, God, I pray I will trust you ever or not the pain stops. So when the pain falls.